I want to talk to you tonight about unplugged, disconnect, detox. Starting in verse 7, this is David speaking. He said, "Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I'm coming.'" Verse 9, he says, "Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Do not leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even when my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will take up my cause." See, David, he begins this psalm with, "The Lord is my light, he's my salvation. What can man do? I'm confident that even when my enemy comes against me, I'm confident that the Lord will hide me in the secret of his tabernacle." And I believe that's the end of his trial, the way he began that psalm. And I do believe that David had to deal with this issue of abandonment. He had to deal with this issue, this ache, this loneliness that might have wanted to distract him and hinder him from the call of God in his life. The pain of broken relationships, disappointments, betrayal, this cry of abandonment, the soul of feeling pushed aside, forsaken, left behind, unloved, uncared. He said, "Don't turn your back. Don't reject me. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me." I don't know how this echoes. I don't know if you hear the echo of this generation. I don't know if you hear the echo of your own heart. I don't know if you hear it deep, whether you want to admit it or not, maybe from an unloved parent, a one-parent household. You know your parents. You don't know your parents. One of them is there. Betrayals from friends, broken relationships, the pain, the disappointment. I don't know if you hear the echo. I don't know if you can hear the pain. Or maybe that's why we try to numb it. Abandoned, in the Webster's Dictionary, to withdraw one's support of help, especially in spite of duty or responsibility. We're basically those that were responsible for our care. Those who were obligated to take care of us didn't live up to their responsibility. Moms, dads, friends, brothers. They could have meant it, they could not. Nevertheless, we still have been going through this pain. It means to give up, to leave, to forsake, to desert. Is there anyone in this place tonight feeling forsaken, deserted, lonely? You could be in a crowd, but there's a loneliness. Is this why we need 24/7 technology, gadgets, devices, the idea of being connected? But are we really? And the worst pain I feel is the pain that you can't see. Emotional pain, the pain in your heart that no one sees, no one understands, the pain you can't verbalize, physical abandonment, emotional abandonment, deep roots set in, fear of being alone, fear of rejection, fear of people leaving, pain of separation, broken relationships. We strive to connect with people, strive to hold on with them, creates a desperation, develops a man-pleasing spirit where we can't say no. A man-pleasing spirit, a Mrs. Fix-It, Mr. Fix-It kind of spirit. The effects of abandonment, when we begin to question our self-worth, our identity, a constant need for approval, low self-esteem, something is wrong with me, I don't look like, I don't feel right, it has to be me, why everybody leaves, why people don't stay. Insecurity, clingy people in relationships, rejecting friendships or getting close to someone for fear they're going to leave anyway, desperation, isolation. Am I talking to anyone in the house tonight? I'll read you a testimony. This woman goes on to say, she's a 30-year-old woman. She said, "I grew up in a godly Christian home, but my parents were first-generation Christians who were broken and struggling through many issues. My father was battling with depression and pornography. He was chronically sick and was not able to work to provide financially. We went bankrupt and eventually were on food stamps to survive. My parents were struggling through marital issues, and my mother had no one to talk to. She would often turn to me and vent about her frustrations and hurts against my father. At 15 years old, I had to listen to my mother and be strength for her. Not realizing the progression of enmeshment that was happening, I began to carry resentment against my father. Though I felt much love from my dad, he was too emotionally handicapped to be there for me. By the time I went to college, I was angry against my father and very broken. Not realizing it, I would attract broken people in my life. Broken people attract broken people. She goes on to say, I began to want to fix people's problems and do everything in my power to be there for people, but not realizing. One of my best friends from college was broken. She was anorexic, sexually abused by her father, and emotionally hurting. I sacrificed so much for her to find after that she would meet her husband. She dropped me, and it hurt me so deeply. She took advantage of me and my compassion of her. She abandoned me. During this time, some acquaintances of mine reached out to me. I found another friend who became a strength for me, but only later to find that she was broken too. She was raped sexually and molested. She had a pattern in her life of finding friends, then dropping them. I was the next victim. She became my friend and then 2 years later decided to become someone else's best friend. Not realizing that was occurring, what was occurring in my life, I was an emotionally abandoned. In a sense, my father, my mother, now by friends that were closest to me. I sought godly counsel in my life and was monitored by people who would pray and counsel me in God's words. Galatians 6 says, what a man reaps, he sows. When we sow honor, we reap honor. When we sow respect, we'll reap respect. The choices that we make today will affect us tomorrow. The choices that we make will affect the people around us and generations. Instead of seeing what they did to me from a victim mentality, I saw what was in my heart. God shed light on what was in my heart. I needed to ask forgiveness. The Lord Jesus helped me to forgive the close friends in my life who abandoned me and hurt me. God has brought me to wholeness and healthiness in my relationships. He's still teaching me every day how to handle friendships and not to try to act as the Holy Spirit in people's lives, but to love them and pray for them in a healthy way. God has shown me that he can satisfy my soul. Only he can satisfy. Through my heart, though my heart may be prone to wander to abandon him, he promised that he would never leave me or forsake me. He is mine and I am his, and I am fully set free today. Hallelujah. 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 This is what happened to this young lady. But sometimes also the dynamics of that pain and that hurt, we can get caught up in the captivity of activity. I said the captivity of activity, constantly wanting to connect. Your heart and your emotions are being removed. They're being numbed. There's heartfelt friendships that are involved, but there's like a removal. In other words, you can stay connected with a Twitter or a Facebook. You can you can verbalize communication, but it's almost with all these gadgets, it becomes like virtual relationships and virtual communication, because you could be involved but removed. You could be communicating, but we've lost the touch of the divine design of God, that we were created for intimacy. We were created for warm-hearted fellowship. I don't know about you, but I like the intensity of a good friendship. I like the heat of a good relationship, where I know when I get together and we speak in the spirit, my heart begins to burn, and they lift me up, and I lift them up, and there's a love between us. But, you know, when you're texting, you're talking to people, but you could really do anything and be anything you want, and there's an intrusion in this communication. I mean, I had to pay extra money when I was sick because people were texting me instead of calling me. And in all my isolation and in all my pain, I'm like, you're telling me you're praying for me when you can't even pick up the phone for me? It's so cold. It's so inhuman. And not only that, like, you could definitely pay for someone to tell you off through your text. And you can't stop it. And you can't do nothing about it. The intrusion of this, the coldness of this, the numbness of souls. Anybody hearing me tonight? The enemy comes and he's crafty because he's speaking to me about a spiritual anesthesia. An anesthesia, you know what this word means? An agent that causes loss of sensation without losing consciousness. Could it be because you're in so much pain that you don't even realize you're doing this, but there's walls up and you could communicate and you could Facebook and you could text and you could Twitter and you could do all these things and never even be involved with your heart and emotions. And you end up controlling the whole thing and you end up more hungry, more dry, more miserable. And you're wondering why you're not satisfied when we turn to gadgets and devices when we got the living God that wants to satisfy our souls. A spiritual anesthesia, the numbness of our soul. coldness in heart and emotion, disconnected from divine design. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Desensitized. Desensitized with all this clamor and clutter in our minds. There's constant commotion, constant activity. Some of you sitting here tonight think you have ADD. You have IPOD because you don't have AD&D. The distraction and the clutter and the clamor and the commotion that's going on in your mind and your heart from these devices, it's just really subtly the enemy coming in and trying to hinder you from desensitizing you from hearing the still small voice of the Lord. I'm like, Lord, no wonder why you put Elijah in a cave. There's no electricity. It's dark, it's cold, it's lonely. But he heard. It wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the rain, it wasn't in the thunder. 2,000 years later, God will say, it wasn't in the iPods, it wasn't in the Twitter, it wasn't in the Facebook. It's in the still, small voice of the Lord. And he loves you, and he misses you, and he longs for you. He wants you in that secret place. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear your voice. He says, draw me and I will. You say to him, draw me and I want. David said, I hear you in my heart. My heart says, I hear you saying to seek my face. And I said, my heart, I want to seek your face, but I can't get in. I can't get in. And maybe you are dealing with the situation where, you know, you're seeing people from the pain and the experience, and you can't let go. And I know God understands it because he sees deep in your heart. And you're thinking, if I let go of everything and abandon myself to the Lord, will he let me down? Is he going to be like my dad? Is he going to be like my mom? And I'm here to tell you, no, no, no. He would never be bringing a word like this. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want competition with gadgets and devices. As good as that may be and informative as they may be. And but from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, God talks about a balance. Would be to God, and he's here, that he's walking amongst the candlesticks and the word is coming forth and somebody is more important than the Lord that you need to hear from in this particular moment, in this sanctuary right now. What happened to the fear and reverence for his presence? Is this noise in the temple? Does he need to overturn the iPods and overturn the Twitters and like he did to the money changers? And because he said, my house, this temple, this, you, your body shall be a house of prayer, but we've made it a den of thieves. And the enemy comes in to seek, steal, and destroy, to desensitize, to anesthetize. And he's stealing the voice of God. How do you hear his voice? How do you read his word? It's not ADD. It's not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just was thinking about this and... because this loneliness, it gnaws at you. Even though you come to church, you could be the life of the party. That's how I was. And this it would just gnaw and stick on me. And I'd go home and the devil would say, you're nothing. You're unloved. You don't look right. You're not a real girl. You're never going to be nothing. And the loneliness, the isolation. Because when I look back in my life, and I've been looking back, and it's been sobering me because every person that I ever loved in my life either died, betrayed, or left. Right up until this season right now, friends, good friends, friends I know for years, just stopped calling. You don't understand the longing to belong. God loves us so much, though, but I could stand here and tell you, he has become the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He has healed me. He has touched me. He has set me free. He has taught me that there's nothing more important than his presence. And in the times of the darkest times, he would come and he would fill me and he'd pour his oil in me and he would heal me and he'd satisfy my soul and give me the ability to put relationships in proper perspective, self-control, discernment. You know, when you try to get a little carnal and the Holy Ghost goes, But how do we feel the little, because the Holy Ghost is like so gentle. How do we feel, how do we hear with all this commotion going on? In quietness and rest is your salvation. In quietness and confidence, he said, but you would not. And then it says a little over in Isaiah 30, but the Lord is gracious and he will wait for you to come to him. Can you believe this? He is waiting for you to wait for him. You know, David ended that psalm, wait, I say, on the Lord. Take courage, wait. You know what that word means? To bind together as one. Sometimes we got to get rid of some devices, some people, you know, that are standing in between. And don't be afraid, because I'm telling you the way I know it, because more than me standing in front of you speaking a word, I know I'm called to pray for you, to intercede for you. Would be to God that you pray for me to take me deeper into that calling. And I hear him. I hear his heart for you. And I'm not speaking anything to you that I haven't decided to do for myself. Amen? I mean, I literally, when I first got saved, God told me to throw the TV out. I could honestly stand in and tell you, 10 years solid, I never watched a movie, never listened to a worldly song, never let anything in my house. I still don't have a TV because Christ is my entertainment. I don't need a spirit of entertainment to entertain me. Christ is all in all. But I tell you what that got for me. It got me intimacy. No clutter. I can hear the voice of the Lord crystal clear. Aren't you jealous for that? Do you want that? Do you want that? Are we trying to fill the deepest human need in our hearts with devices and gadgets? Are we trying to reach the depth of our soul with modern technology, virtual conversation, virtual relationships? I need the warmth of friendships. I need the awesomeness of a heartfelt conversation. I need to hear the voice of God. I need to be in that secret place. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear that secret place. You need to go in so he could heal and touch you and fill you and convince you of his love. Convince you that he, though your mother and father will forsake you, he will never forsake you. We were created by God, for God, to be loved by God, to love him back, to love one another. There's a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill and satisfy, and only the Holy Spirit could go down deep. God wants to be God to you tonight. He wants you in the secret closet of prayer. He wants you to hear his voice. Do you know in Psalm 2 it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry? Not S-O-N, not S-U-N, S-O-N. It's as intimate as a kiss. Isn't that amazing with the Lord? Intimate as a kiss, the closeness when he breathes on you, and all of a sudden hurt and pain dissolve, harshness of heart, forgiveness flows. You begin to know who you are. You begin to know who he is, your identity. Gender confusion is broken. Amen? Confusion from the enemy cannot stand in the presence of God. Every demon, every devil has to flee. That blood covers us, and the devices of Satan and the voices of Satan are silenced in the secret closet of prayer. Go to 1 Samuel 16 really quick. You know, because think about David's life. I just want to say to you, 1 Samuel 16, just stay there. You never hear about David's mother. It's interesting that he said in the psalm, when my mother and father forsake me. And David, you know, he was with the sheep. Separated. Unplugged. Definitely didn't have iPods. Definitely didn't have Facebook. I bet you if David was here, he'd say, why don't you get out of Facebook and get in his face? He was with the sheep. That was a lowly job. And he was in a field, no doubt smelly and lonely. And but God was about to bust a move on this lonely, abandoned boy. Are you with me here tonight? He's about to break out. And so Samuel, he calls and he tells him to Jesse, David's father, get your sons. And David's not invited. Maybe some of you didn't get invited somewhere tonight, tomorrow. Not invited. I've went through a season recently of just feeling so uninvited. But I never let things get me down like that, because I always know God is moving in ways I can't understand. It's amazing. You have to trust the Lord with this. And so he's out in the field, and I'll tell you something. When he, let me read it to you. 1 Samuel 16. We're going to start verse 6. When they arrived, because Samuel invited Jesse, told Jesse to get the sons. Listen to this. It said, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Listen to this. This is a word for you guys tonight. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by appearances or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look inside the heart. Isn't it awesome that God sees your hunger and thirst and your love for him? You could be getting convicted tonight, and that's a good thing. Don't be condemned. Conviction comes, and it opens up a door to set you free and take you out. If you're convicted, you should be dancing right now. And I hope you shut those cell phones off, because I know some of you got them on vibrate. Come on. Come on. Can you give this time to the Lord? Unhindered, unplugged, unrestrained, like we sang about. And so he separated, and he tells, I look at the heart. You're not seeing things the way I see it. Says, then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, this is not the one that the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah, but Samuel said, neither is he the one that the Lord has chosen. It's amazing. They're all at this party. They're all invited, but there's a guy in the fields over here. I'm telling you, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God. When God says you're chosen, you're chosen. If you're sitting here in Christ, you are chosen. You are accepted in the beloved. You are made lovely, rejected indeed by man. But God says you're chosen, you're chosen. If you're in the middle of the depths of despair and loneliness, and you feel yourself out in the field, uninvited, unloved, in despair, abandoned, God says, I chose you. Hold on, I got a plan for you and a purpose, and I'm about to bust out in your life all over the place. Hallelujah. See, sometimes it's not rejection, it's God's protection. Oh, that little girl you liked or guy you liked, and they, I don't know what happened. Don't worry. It's not rejection, it's God's protection. You know what the Lord, it says in the Bible? He said, Lisa, if they reject you, they're rejecting me. If they accept you, they're accepting me. Either way, it's not about you, Lisa. That thing set me free. So if you like me, you're liking the Christ in me. If you don't like me, you're not liking the Christ in me. So go ahead, reject me, chosen by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you got to get this in your spirit tonight. And then Samuel, because he's got the mind of the Lord now, and Samuel walked so close with God, you know, none of his words fell to the ground. I could see him walking, because he didn't have an iPod, and he didn't have a Twitter, and he wasn't stuck with these berries, I don't know, blackberries, pearls, storms, I don't know what you got. And I could hear, and he's walking with the Lord, even though he doesn't have the right mind, God was able to bust through and say, that's not my choice. Right in the middle would be the God that you'd be walking and unhindered, uncensored, unplugged, and you'd be going to do something, and you could hear, no, don't do that. And the gentleness of God, you know, God's whispers are more powerful than the devil's roars. God's whispers are more powerful than the devil's, but how are you going to hear the whispers in all this commotion? And so he goes, he's got the mind of the Lord now. Do you have another son? I can picture the brothers going, oh, the young one? You know, Eliab, what are you doing with those few sheep? You know, throwing down a spirit of insignificance on David. Saul, he's going to fight the giant. Oh, but you're too young. Like, he was around a crew and a half. Very supportive, wouldn't you say? I mean, you might as well just go back to the sheep, because there was no encouragement. Speaking about a spirit of abandonment. And he said, yes, I do. He's my youngest, and he's with the sheep. Maybe there's some leaders here tonight that got a few sheep under you. You feel left out and rejected. Oh, no. God is getting ready to pour a David anointing on you. Hallelujah. What do you think David was doing in that cave? You know, great men and women burst out of caves, out of the darkness, the dampness. I believe he became a worshiper. I believe the shepherd of David's soul was shepherding him, and that's why he could shepherd those sheep. And I believe God began to hear. I believe David began to hear, the Lord is your shepherd. You're never going to want with me. I lead you to these quiet places. I lead you to these quiet places. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to anoint your head with oil in the midst of the brethren. Just hold on, David. Hallelujah. What looked like David's abandonment was preparation for God's anointing. You should be getting excited here tonight. Could it be that David's pain led him to the arms of the shepherd of his soul? I could hear David say, I wait quietly before the Lord. My soul cleaves to my God. He alone is my rock. He alone is my fortress. He alone is my deliverer. He's my light. He's my salvation. What can man do to me? What can man do to me when God is on my side? God is my friend. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take up my cause. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I'm in this dark place, but the Lord is here with me. I think David, in that moment when God started whispering to him, he made a choice that he was going to break the power of abandonment, because the Lord revealed himself as a covenant God, and David chose to abandon himself to the Lord. You can break the power of abandonment over the life tonight by abandoning yourself. Just unplug, disconnect, detox, and abandon yourself to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then in 1 Samuel 16, 11 to 12, let me just read it. I want to say one thing else. The father and the brothers might not have invited them to the party. But when God says you're invited, the party don't start until he gets there, and it doesn't end until he leaves. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because Samuel says, oh, wait, he's going to come. And I don't know how long the journey was, but he said, we're not going to sit down to this meal until David gets here. That one you rejected, that one you abandoned, that one you think is insignificant. Oh, when God says you're invited, and you are invited to a feast, you are invited into his presence, you are invited to drink the water of the Holy Ghost and the wine, and open up the bread of God and be filled, and this meal will satisfy you. This meal will never leave you get discontented. This meal will fill you with supernatural power. Don't you feel like getting in the presence of the Lord tonight? Don't worry if you're not invited to that party. God has a better invitation. And 1 Samuel 16, 11 and 12 said, hallelujah. So we sent for David at once, and Samuel said, we will not sit down until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. Do you know God sees you as beautiful tonight? Handsome and pretty. Not the way you see yourself. He created you in his image. He knows every fiber. You know, that's why David could read Psalm 139. Where can I go from his presence? I could be abandoned, but not abandoned from the presence of God. He knows me. He hears me. He knows the thoughts. He knows my words before I speak them. This intimacy. He knew the omniscience, the omnipresence of God. Oh, he was intimate by the time you get to Psalm 139. I was praying recently and meditating on Psalm 139, and I pray this prayer. You could pray it for me. I want to live in the reality of Psalm 139. I don't want to preach it. I don't want to teach it. I don't want to recite it. I want to live in the reality of it. And in 1 Samuel 16, 12, it says, this is the one. Anoint him. This is the one. This lonely, abandoned, smelly, sheep-smelling little boy, youngest, he was a teen. This is the one. Anoint him. I'm telling you, if you are in a dark time, in the midst of your loneliness, God is working out his plan for you. God is looking to make you a mighty warrior of God, a mighty warrior of worship. He's looking to give you supernatural strength to kill the lion and slay the bear and take down the giant and cut off his head and take the sword from the enemy of Goliath and sever the head of the giant tonight. Supernatural strength, supernatural power. Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. Supernatural power of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus severed the head of the devil. I'll tell you one thing. And he cried. Do you understand what Jesus cried in Psalm 22? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The separation, the abandonment that he must have felt for you and for me to be set free tonight. He passed through the gates of abandonment and he cried, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Do you know there's a finished work tonight that he called for you and he called for me in every state that we are? And there's a cross and there's a death and there's a resurrection and there's a spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is here tonight to anoint you with the oil of David, the oil of Christ, to set you free once and for all so that you can totally and recklessly abandon yourself to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By faith, this is how we do it. Do you believe what I'm speaking tonight? Now, I prayed that I wasn't speaking. God was going to create this. A desire and intimacy, and he was going to break chains here tonight, and I believe it because God answers prayer. And I'd like you to stand with me. Hallelujah. If you are in this place that I'm speaking about tonight, God allowed you to go through this. He might not have orchestrated it, but he could work everything for the good. Young people, listen to me. He could be your mother. He could be your father. He could be your sister. He could be your brother. He could be what no one else could be. I know what I'm talking about. I've been through seasons of loneliness and despair in the church and out of the church, saved and unsaved. And I have found the Lord to stick closer to me than a brother. But I also found the Lord when I came out of these seasons, and like this beautiful sister preached tonight, that she obeyed the Lord. The desire of a heart is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, we should catch this fever tonight. Not a husband, not a wife, not a car. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Come on, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost tonight? Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul.'" And I'm going to say to you tonight, you have mourned long enough over this abandonment. It says, "I have rejected him as king." And I'm telling you right now, God has rejected and destroyed that spirit of abandonment. And it says, "Get up, fill your horn with oil and go." And so all over this place, as the musicians come, God wants to pour fresh oil on you. He wants to give you the David anointing. That same David that told Eliab, "Speak to the hand," told Saul, "I don't need to put your clothes on. I got a sling and a stone. All you need is one promise of God to take down this giant tonight. To take down. You don't need to take down anything," because David knew the battle wasn't the Lord. David went into the battle and said, "You, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. And guess what? All Israel will know there is a God in heaven, because the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's." And he went into this fight knowing the outcome, that he had triumphed over this enemy. You got to know you already won. You're already on the other side. Jesus triumphed over every power of darkness that would want to overtake your mind. The blood of Jesus is enough. The cross of Jesus is evidence of his love and his conditions. He's so committed to you tonight. And you're coming into this battle, but it's already won. You're just coming. You know what you're doing? You're detoxing. You're disconnecting. You're unplugging to say, "Lord, I want to abandon myself to you." When you lift up your hands, the oil and the anointing is going to flow on you. Hallelujah. 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 If there's somebody here tonight that you don't know Jesus, and you're like, "I really don't know what this girl is talking about. She's a little outrageous," but there's something inside of your heart that's going thump, thump. That's the Lord. That's the shepherd. That's the same God that loved David. The same God that delivered David from the lion and the bear. The same God that gave David the power to take down these giants. The same God that delivered this girl. This girl was 15 years old in that testimony. She's now 30 years old and a worship leader. I'm telling you, God wants to put an anointing, a worship, a supernatural power on you tonight. I'm going to just ask you that if you want to come to this altar, that you would just, how many of you want this? Just lift up your hands tonight. Come on, lift up your hands. Come on. No. Why don't you slip out of your seats while the musicians play and come to this altar, and God is here. He's going to pour the oil of David, a David anointing on you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you just call on the name of Jesus? He wants to hear your voice. Just help him. God is going to break the power that this thing has over you tonight. He's going to break the power of loneliness and despair. And this spirit of abandonment is broken. And he's going to heal you. And he's going to fill you with the oil of joy more than your companions. The Bible says that if you love righteousness and hate wickedness, he'll fill you with the oil of joy. David was anointed in the midst of the brethren. Do you know that there's an anointing flowing right now? Believe this by faith. Faith takes you in. Jesus is a covenant God. He promised David a sure house, and he promises you the same thing. It's where his seed, and he promised to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And I want you to open up your hearts and feel this oil, feel this tenderness. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the devil is defeated tonight. The devil is defeated tonight. We don't have to scream. We don't have to yell. We see the cross and the blood, and we hear you say, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. A complete work. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this spirit of abandonment is broken over the lives of your people. This numbness of loneliness, despair is broken in the name of Jesus. Strongholds are broken right now. Tormented minds are being free. Emotions are warmed up, God. Those that have been ravished, God, you're ministering right to the emotion, to the depths of the soul, deep down in their spirit, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, God. I ask you for healing to flow. Healing to flow. Healing, peace in their minds. An enlarged heart. Lord, make them worship warriors. Hallelujah. Songs in the night. Songs in their heart. Songs, God. And then make them that song that people could see and fear and know that there is a God in Israel. Lord, I thank you for your oil that's being poured over them, God. The anointing of Christ. The power of Christ. The love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ. Let them get it, let them give it. Let them get it, let them give it, God. Let them receive it, let it flow through them, God. Lord, I thank you for these, my brothers and sisters, God, and the call. I pray that you would stir up the gifts of the Spirit tonight, God, and you would call out the Davids, and you'd call out the Davidettes, God. That, Lord, you'd raise up preachers. Lord, you'd raise up ministers, God, and missionaries, and you reveal yourself to them right now, God. And they will know, God, they will know, God, that the devil is defeated and that Christ Jesus has moved in and set up camp, God. And I thank you for the power of that thing. The lure, the drive of it is broken, God. And Lord, I pray right now that you put a spirit of abandonment to you on them, God. A reckless abandonment in their minds, in their hearts, God. Lord, break all the carnal nature, God. Let them know they have dominion over the sin, dominion over the desires that are corrupted, God. And give them a new taste for you, God. Give them a new heart for you. Just root out every desire that didn't come from you. Every desire, every longing, root it out, God. Because you give us the desires of your heart. You make us have a need, and then you meet it, God. And Jesus, more than anything, just reveal yourself that they could walk so close for you. And Lord, that they would feel the nearness of your presence and reverence your presence. Reverence it. Let them not put up with the spirit of entertainment. Let them sit in the sanctuary unhindered, unplugged, disconnected, detoxed, and filled with the oil of joy. I bless you for it. I thank you for it. I believe you for it. Now lift up your hands and thank the Lord. Thank him. In the name of Jesus.